Good evening. Like, nice to see Hannah here with us tonight. Amen. She's in town for a few days. Well, this is the last lesson in the series that we've been on quite a while, the journey of Jesus. I was thinking to myself this afternoon, I said, man, we've been on this a long time, probably about a year. And I went back and looked at my notes. I keep track so I don't repeat stuff. And in a couple of weeks, it will be 2 years. It was August 4th of 24 that we started this series, The Journey of Jesus. Don't know about you. I got a lot out of it. Just the reinforcement who Jesus is, not some mythical, magical mystery, but he was God and he was man. And it was all part of God's plan that he come to earth and be offered as a sacrifice for our sins. The last time I spoke, I think it was last month, we looked at his return, and we saw in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, that Jesus, when he returns, is going to come in fiery judgment on two groups of people. And there's only two groups of people. There's those that do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel. Case closed. One of our takeaways, not knowing God is not a safe base for us. Well, I didn't know. Because tonight is we're going to look at his judgment, and not knowing is not a freebie. It's not an excuse. And then the other group of people that are going to face the fiery judgment are people that knew God, but that did not obey the gospel. And that's not. The hear, believe, confess, repent, and be baptized gospel, and then it's over. Most of us here have done that. It's the continuing to be faithful. It's the do not obey for the rest of our lives type. Be faithful until death, and you'll receive a crown of life. So let's jump ahead. And one of we left off with the concept last time that some of the things about this that the scriptures don't teach that is very prevalent out in the religious world and just in the world in general. When Jesus returns, it is not to start his 1,000-year reign on the earth. Nowhere in scripture is that taught. When he comes back, it's over. It's over then. There's no the getting the second chance that so many religious people teach that those that are Christians will be taken away and then everybody else gets a second chance, a do-over. What do you guys call it in golf? Mulligans? Okay. There's no mulligans in Christianity. And there's not that safe space of all you have to do is confirm that you believe in Jesus. We talked last time, the demons believe and they tremble at the fact that there is a Jesus. They know what's coming. And so we're going to look at our last topic this evening, the judgment. In John 12, verse 48, Jesus is teaching, and he says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So when Jesus comes and and executes judgment, it's fair game. He's given his words. It's not like he's keeping us in the dark. It's not like he's keeping it a secret. It's been very plain. And ever since the first century, faithful Christians have been spreading that same message each generation. And the same message that Jesus taught, we are teaching today. And so that word, in 2 Thessalonians, where it says the people that's going to face fiery judgment are the people that don't know God and the people that don't obey the gospel. He's taught the gospel. He's taught it to us. So there's no excuse. In John 5:22, Jesus says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Jesus is the one that's going to preside over the judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, "For we must all." He doesn't say, "You guys," or "some of you guys are going to have to appear," and it's more than just the Corinthians. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We're going to have to face, the old saying, we're going to have to pay the piper. And no one's going to escape having to go through this. But faithful Christians don't have to be scared, because we are covered in the blood of Christ. Amen. And so we know God and we obey the gospel. We have nothing to fear. And so this scary circumstance, and it will be scary for many, we don't have to worry because we're obedient. In Jude, verse 14 and 15, it reads, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." It doesn't pay to be ungodly. As Peter wrote, from the Old Testament, "Be holy, for I am holy." And that's what we as Christians strive to be. In the letter to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, God knows, and Jesus knows. In these letters to the churches, Jesus makes comment to all of them. "I know your works." When we face judgment, it's not going to be like, "Oh, I'll squeak by because he didn't know about this." Nobody knows. You know, we were talking in Bible class last week about mothers, how they got eyes in the back of their heads, how they just, you don't get away with nothing with mom is lightweight compared to God. Okay? Jesus said, "I know your works," and whether good or bad. And the remedy for those churches that had bad works, and it's the same for us as individuals, is repent. That was, not all is lost. If you've got bad works, just like in Revelation, repent is the answer. And that's not report. I've sinned. Well, we all have. It's not that I've sinned. Repent is changing and not doing it. There's a big difference between reporting sin and repenting from sin. Big difference. In Acts 10:42, it reads, "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and of the dead." When he comes, the judgment is going to be for the living and the dead. Those that have fallen asleep in the Lord, those that have that were long gone, and for those that are here currently. In 2 Timothy, Paul would write to Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." It is Jesus that is going to stand in that judgment, and he has every right to make that judgment. God gave him that right, and Jesus was from the beginning. If we put all of our study together, Jesus was at the beginning of creation. And he was the center focus of everything in the Bible. The coming Savior, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God was his son Jesus. A sacrifice we could not come up with. A sacrifice that was so great we couldn't come up with. We couldn't dream up a sacrifice worthy to forgive us of our sins. I'd like to end up, most of us in here tonight are baptized believers. But if we're going to be judged by the words that Jesus said, John 12:48, the first step is to hear the word of God. He did not keep it a secret. He came for Jews and Gentiles. Jesus himself said in John 8:24 that we have to believe that he is. That he is the Son of God, and that he is the Savior. A lot of people believed that Jesus was Jesus, that he was the carpenter's son, Mary's son. We've seen him grow up. Many believed that he was Jesus, but many people didn't believe that he was the Savior, the Son of God, holy. Jesus said, one of the things that we have to do, in the words of Jesus, Luke 13:3, that we must repent. He says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We have to repent of our sins. He said we have to confess him. Matthew 10:32, he says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And if you don't, I won't. And he said, you have to be baptized. What was it Paul wrote about the foolish things of God? How does dunking yourself in water save your soul? Because Jesus said so. Good enough for me. It's nothing special with the water. The water's tap water, right out of the faucet, right out of the river, right out of a pool, right out of a jacuzzi. Might even be muddy water. Nothing special about the water. It's the obedience. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If Jesus said it, we're going to be judged on his words. And last, he said, we must remain faithful. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, he who endures to the end will be saved. In Revelation 2:10, Jesus told the apostle John that remain faithful until death. And those that remain faithful will receive a crown of life. That's why we're here. I hope that's why we're here. Amen. We may have nothing better to do. But I think that's why we're here tonight, is to remain faithful and to be obedient. Not forsaking the assembly. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Hebrews 10 says. It's been an amazing study for me. Hopefully you've picked up a few things too along the way. I pick lessons sometimes for what people might need, but every lesson I need, I know that way somebody always benefits. Somebody in the audience, I didn't get anything out of it. You know what? I did. So I always know somebody will get something out of it. If you need to respond to the words of Jesus, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, I do not mean this to sound bad. Anybody listening online, anybody here, if you have not been baptized, immersed for the forgiveness of your sins as a choice, not as a child, not to shut your husband or wife up on, to keep them off your back. But if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we urge you, we have the opportunity to do that tonight. If you are a Christian and you have sin in your life, Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repent of your sins. That was the answer to all the condemnation that Jesus had to the seven churches in Asia in Revelation. Repentance is the answer. If you need prayers, we offered up prayers tonight on behalf of a few people. If there's prayers, a prayer request that you would like for us to go to God with and for you, let that be known. Whatever your need, as Don leads us in the invitation song, let your need be known. We'll address your needs. Let's stand and sing.